morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's beautiful Lord's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you ladies. Obviously, Joe's not here, so I'm going to do the best I can, and we've got a wonderful speaker that's going to be with us, Reverend Chris Singleton. So we're going to go to the announcements. On Monday, 9 to 12, the Women's Auxiliary has their quilting project. The month of May is going to be children's change, so pick up a blue bag in the vestibule so you can put your change in it. And I think that'll be the last Sunday, I think, when we turn those in. There is a blood drive at the downtown church at Monday from 2 to 6. And then Tuesday, we're having our food bank build the bags. So Charles Drummond called me this week and said we were going to do this on Tuesday. And so I had no way of letting everybody know. So anybody that can participate, please let me know so I can let him know how many people we're going to have showing up. And it will start at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. There's no choir practice this week. Bible study on Thursday, Sunday, May 19th through June 9th, the following service, that's the 19th and the June 9th, right, Leanne? Yeah, okay. The usher and acolyte training, so please attend one of those meetings if you're going to participate in that service. Sunday, May 19th, Women's Auxiliary meeting, and they have a guest speaker. Deacon's meeting will be May 22nd at 6. Sunday is the 26th is Mary's Soup Kitchen donation. So you can see the list of foods that they need. So if you can bring those within this time, just put them up here in front of the altar. Of course, May 27th is Memorial Day. Choir practice is May 29th. June 9th is Women's Auxiliary Fundraiser Lunch. So that come hungry. And Friday, June 14th, is Relay for Life. It's going to be at South Lenore. And Saturday, June 29th, will be the parade. So looking forward to that. Any more announcements? Okay, then let's worship. Stand for responsive reading. It's in your bulletin. We gather together in the presence of God, the Lord of heaven and earth,
the creator of our world and everything in it,
the one who gave us life and breath,
The one who is never far away from any of us.
The one in whom we live and move and have our being.
God is present here today. Let's worship God together.
Amen. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for this beautiful Sunday, this beautiful Lord's Day, this beautiful Mother's Day. And we thank you, God, for all you do for the mothers we have and the mothers that have gone on. We ask that you be with each and every one here, Lord, as today will be a worshipful experience as we praise you in your house. Guide us and direct us in all that we do in this service and as we leave here today. In thy precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 788. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of Now Thank We All Our God. Be seated. And Jennifer McLaughlin has our scriptures this morning.
Good morning. Happy Good morning. Mother's Day. Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. The New Testament reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
search for the light of day in the day of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better
Today we would like to honor all the moms for Mother's Day. First, we would like to honor the oldest mom in our congregation. Is there anyone here 90 or older? Raise your hand, please. Is there anybody 85 or older? Anybody 86 or older? 87? 88? 89? There we go. Next, we would like to honor the mom with the most children. Is there anyone here with 5 or more kids? What do we do with the tie again? Last, we would like to honor the youngest mom here today. Is there anyone here 25 or younger? Anybody 30 or younger? 35?
Melissa's 30. Melissa's the youngest.
She said she wasn't putting herself in there, so it was her. Now we have something for all the moms. Please raise your hand if you're a mom.
Okay. That's fine. You want to come up here? Come up here, Jerry.
This is When Mama Prayed, originally by Randy Travis. I wanted to do this for all the mothers out there, especially mine. I've been blessed with a lot of women in my life that are praying women, and it really shows. So all you mamas, keep praying. Daddy never went to church on Sunday. He said, and that's one thing I'll never do. Mama never gave up, she said, one day he'll be sitting here beside me and you. I can still hear Mama softly talking, her tears falling on her folded hand. That Easter Sunday, Daddy walked in. That's when I began to understand. When Mama prayed, and good things happen. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. 17 and wild, I hit the bottle. Doing anything I dang well please. Burning down life's highway at full throttle. While mama burned a candle on her knee. Then one night I came home half sober. I saw mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over. And I knew my restless days were about to end. So when mama prayed, good things happen. When mama pray, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't seemed to me were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil, 'cause heaven knows he didn't have a prayer. When mama prayed, not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when mama prayed. Crumbled all the way when mama prayed.
Still got it, bud. This is part of our service. We ask if you have any requests for prayer. If you look on the back of our bulletin, there is a long list back there. So think about all those folks. Is there anybody else that you would like to have remembered in prayer?
Kirby Page. Continue praying for him. He's on my bulletin. And also, Lemon Benson just had a little bit of a stomach upset, and I pray for Lemon, a good girl here in our church.
Okay.
Justin DeVos and family.
Okay.
Bobby Gates. He was in a motorcycle accident yesterday, and he's on my support.
Okay. Anyone else?
Greg and Rhonda.
Amen.
Amen. Pray for, we all know, just everybody's got things on their mind, people on their minds. So we ask that we pray for them and we pray for each other. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you.
Father, we come into your house today, Lord, with grateful hearts, thankful for the mothers that you provided to us, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all the many blessings you give us. Lord, we lift these prayer requests up to you. And Lord, we know you still do miracles, Lord. And Lord, we just trust your will. And Lord, we just are just so thankful for the many blessings you give us. Lord, we just ask you to be with us today. And Lord, just reach out to our mothers. Show them the love that they truly deserve. Thank you, Jesus, for all your many blessings. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to 793. We're going to stand and sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of For the Beauty of the Earth.
So grateful to be in your house this morning worshiping you, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon our tithes and offerings that we support your work in this community and in this world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please stand for the doxology. You may be seated. Well, today we're welcoming our old friend, Chris Singleton, and he has been involved in our community in lots of different ways. I remember when our John went to Cragmont, and he couldn't talk enough about Mr. Chris. And Chris, he'll be 50 this year. Yeah. Thought you'd appreciate that. I run into Chris in multiple places, but one place we see him right off, quite often is in Olive Garden in Galsworth after Sunday, after church. So, and today he brought his lovely wife Vicki here. We're glad to have you as well. So Chris is going to bring us a message of what God's put on his heart. Chris?
Thank you, sir. You know how to make a fellow feel old. But I can say I remember telling Mom and Dad how old my birthdays must make them feel. So you have a 50-year-old. I have one close behind, though. It is good to be here this morning, and happy Mother's Day, and great to see almost a full house. They say in any church that when you're 80% full, you're full. We don't want to sit like this. So basically, you're full. Might see empty pews, but it looks great to see this many people. I'm going to stick my nose in your business just a moment. Prayer lists have a way of not being updated, not staying fresh. Third line, I'm not going to say the last name. Harrison, I'm not going to say it. He is a first cousin's child. Thank you so much for praying for him. He is, as far as I know, well. Had a type of leukemia, I think, and he's doing great. I saw him 2 weeks ago at a wedding, and just appreciate the prayers and celebrate that he's overcome this. He's a super young man, and I think this already was on that track, but I think this has really drawn him closer to the Lord. What to say for Mother's Day? So much has been said. So much is said every day. Beautiful song a while ago, and I'll mention more about that in a few moments. But, mothers are very special to all of us, for most of us, I will say. I have to take that back. We know, we see in the news every now and then mothers that we just can't quite figure out. And we know that evil exists in the world, and we're going to just leave that at that. I'm going to read this morning, first of all, from Proverbs 31, of course you are. Where else would you read? Well, there are other places, but that seems to be the starter. But I'm just going to ask that first question. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. And we certainly could change that just a little bit to say a mother of noble characters. I'm going to do a different type message this morning. I'm going to share probably too many quotes and jokes and then look at some scripture again. Mothers, we can listen to country music especially and see what a special place that mothers hold. And I think many here could testify to that same thing. We read on TV or we listen to jokes and read on in newspaper magazines, mothers are not, they're held with mixed emotions, some high esteem, some just like, have to endure mothers and daughters especially seem to have this special bond, special clash with mothers and a lot of reasons for that. We won't get into that either. So just going to share a few quotes, and they're not in any order. Some might be more humorous, some very truthful, but someone said a mother is one who does the work of 20 people for free. Also see the word saint and Wonder Woman. And someone, we don't know who, said, I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my children. You can all relate to that. Silence is golden unless you have kids, and then silence is just suspicious. Nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. And for those of us guys, I might as well say our wives find it. But just seems females have a detection system that can find things better. And then I think every young woman has felt this at times. Sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out, like it or not. But I can just hear it. And I think of many things I said, I'm never going to do that with my children. And then every now and then, here we go. Carrie Underwood said, it just occurred to me that the majority of my diet is made up of the foods that my kids didn't finish. Milton Berle questioned, if evolution really works, how come mothers only have two hands? I don't know, but Sam Levinson said, I don't know him. Sam Levinson said, insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. If at first you don't succeed, try doing it the way mom told you in the beginning. And some kid said, my mother told me a million times not to exaggerate. A mother is a person who, seeing that there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces that she never did care for pie. Phyllis Diller, and as I read all these older people that we know, I think about how many kids, who in the world is Phyllis Diller? I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, and then I want to move in with them. Irma Bombrick, and again, probably many of the kids wouldn't know her. When my kids become wild and unruly, I usually find a safe place like a playpen. When they're finished, I climb out of it. But even better than finding that safe place, if your kids are giving you a headache, follow the directions on the aspirin bottle, especially that part that says, keep away from children. The same lines, I love to play hide and seek with my kids, but some days my goal is to find a hiding place where they can't find me until after high school. Kids are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you get there faster also. Thought about this morning, I think it was the first time after I moved to Kinston, I came for a revival, and someone in the hallway, I have no clue who it was, told me I hadn't changed a bit. And we know how that goes. We hear it often and we think, but I thought, okay, thou shalt not, you know, there's sermon right there. Especially when I walked in, washing my hands in the restroom and looked up, I had on a gray suit, and there was perfectly gray hair. Now I'm not going to get a white suit to match what I'm wearing now. Got to send this one to my daughter. When your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a simple formality. It doesn't matter whether you answer yes or no, you're going to get it anyway. And why did God make man before woman? Because he needed some advice. And on a serious note, Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. He went on to say, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And certainly, I thought about that, and I mentioned the song about Mama's prayers, and I think many of us can relate to that, that we heard Mama pray, and we heard Mama praying for us. I have an uncle, have a lot of uncles. Mother was one of 10. Daddy had that many. Most of them were step, and I learned them later in life. But about middle way, the uncle was kind of a wild child. I tell people my memory of Sunday afternoon when he was in his teens and early 20s was going to see the latest car that he'd wrecked. I'm sure my memory is exaggerated. He declares it is, but seems like there were a lot of Sundays we went to a junkyard to see what he had done that weekend. He became one of the greatest men that I know of. Touched his community, touched a lot of lives, and just really turned his life around in a big way. I've often heard him speaking of his mama's prayers. And Hank Williams sings a song about his mama's prayers, and so many. It's just a testimony to, as Abraham Lincoln said, that his mama's prayers have followed me in many ways. I'd like to go back to Proverbs 31, 25 through 28, speaking of the good woman. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I want every one of you to just think a moment and close your eyes if you think better that way. Just don't close them real long. We know how Sunday is about this time every week. But what do you picture? Who do you picture when you hear this descriptive verse? What woman do you picture? I picture my grandmother Harrison and my mom. Grandmother Harrison was mom's mother. I think about so many others, many of you that I know. I think about Ms. Grubbs, and there's so many people, so many women that fit that description almost to a T, what the Bible says about the perfect woman. When I think about mom and her mother, they wanted to be this woman. They didn't try to be their children's best friend. They didn't try to be the center, the social light of the community. They tried to fit the description in the Bible of a perfect woman. They knew they couldn't achieve that perfection, but they tried in many ways to be that ideal woman that people would look up to, that would pray for their children, the prayers would follow them, that would set the example, not only by carrying their children to church and learning them the Bible stories, but by constantly making sure that that was a major thread in their lives. I think about my mom and her sisters and all that coming from grandmother. And so many times the lessons that they taught us every day were somehow intertwined within a Bible story. They taught from the Bible, even if it was things that we didn't, you know, it wasn't like Sunday school. It was much better than Sunday school because it was part of life. It was things that we were learning every day. Again, they wanted to be this woman, not the best friends of the children. The Bible speaks of clothed in strength and dignity, not in the latest trends, not trying to be the fashion diva, but simply being clothed in strength and dignity. The scripture says that she can laugh. And I see all of those women that I mentioned having a sense of humor, having a playful nature, not rigid in every way, strict in their rules, strict in enforcing the rules, but not rigid, so rigid that they couldn't bend a little with, you know, to show the love and admiration that children needed. Also, when I read that, I think about she can laugh at the days to come because she's prepared. You know, I hear a lot of people talking with woe about the days we live in, and it is scary when we look at all the wars that are raging, when we look at how close America is to being involved in a major, we are involved, but how close we are to, you know, being totally involved, being committed, being sending troops on the ground, boots on the ground, as they say. Not just one more front, but two. And it is scary. But yet, we know the ending, and as Christians, we should be more positive every day. And that's the thing that most of the godly mothers taught their children. I would say all the godly mothers taught their children. So that we can laugh, no matter how much despair we might feel. We can find humor in day-to-day situations. We, you know, look at politics, and sometimes I think that's all we can do is laugh because it's so pathetic, pathetically funny. Would that be a term? It's a mess, and it's enough to cause despair. And we don't know the ending in November, but we know the greater ending. And that's really all that matters. It's all that we need to think about. So this perfect woman in the Bible can laugh at the future because she knows the ending. She can also laugh because she's prepared. She's prepared, you know, by storing food. She's prepared financially. She's prepared most of all because she's right with God. And she's doing everything possible to make sure that her children are right with God as well. She's doing everything possible to try to instill within them that biblical foundation. The Bible says that she's not idle. We teach children that idleness is the devil's workshop, but I think there's a lot of adults need to learn that as well. We spend time on television and reading all sorts of material. We need to spend more time in prayer. We go out a lot. We have to have our entertainment. I hear people say they deserve another vacation. They deserve this. They deserve that. We don't deserve anything. It's by God's grace that we're benefited by His goodness and mercy. And people, the godly woman here is not idle, not finding this time that she deserves for herself. She's working for her family. She's teaching. She's bringing up her children in the way that God would have them to be brought up. Scripture also says that her children rise up and call her blessed. I had to chuckle there. They might call her names, but it's only in their minds and not out loud. And we hear parents, we hear kids today calling their mothers all sorts of names, not just in front of mother, but publicly. No respect at all. No, you know, you wonder, is there any love at all? There probably is, but where's the respect? Her children rise up and call her blessed. That doesn't just happen. That happens because that's the way that she's tried to live. That happens because that's the way that they've seen her living. And because of that, they can call her blessed. Her and the father are a team. They're working together. They're pulling together. They're trying their best to set the proper example. And in the psalm, Mama prayed for Daddy, and eventually they were that team together. Before that, as so many mothers today, she had to pull the load on her own. And then Proverbs 1, verse 8 through 9. Go from one end of the book back to the other. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head. Now, there's no real distinction between instructions and teachings in my mind. Maybe it's sort of a how-to versus the foundations for living. And a lot of times it is our fathers that are giving those instructions, but in the household, mama's giving those instructions. But sadly today, when it comes to spiritual teaching, most of it falls upon the shoulders of the woman. Most of it is the mother's task. And thank goodness many of them are fulfilling it. I have another cousin, got a lot of them as well. But she, to my knowledge, she was not brought up. It's a second cousin. And I don't think she was brought up in church as strictly as I was. And, you know, most of that next generation or not. Her and her husband have done well materially. They've been blessed in many, many ways. They have, I think, three beautiful children. All of a sudden, a couple of years ago, they start showing up. They were coming to church pretty regular, but they started showing up at other services. They realized their kids needed to be involved in church. They're involved in dance. They're involved in sports. They're involved in so many of the things the other kids are involved in. But they're involved in church at every level they can be. And it's been a beautiful thing to behold. Her daughter, just 3 or 4 years old, showed her on Facebook the other day reciting the Lord's Prayer. I hate to say what age I was before I could do that. But, you know, I think here it's a case of daddy and mother. They're our team. And that's what it should be. They should be a team working together to bring up the children in the way that they should go. And then one thing the scripture says is not to forsake your mother's teachings. The burden is on the kids to listen well and do not turn away. And the Bible says it will be a garland to crown your head, something that you can wear with pride, an award, so to speak. Used to in the Olympics, you didn't get the fancy gold medals, you got a garland. And that was a symbol of your abilities, of your, you know, virtues as far as an athlete. And the scripture says that following your mother's instructions will be a garland to wear upon your head. And then 2 Timothy 1:5, the author is telling Timothy, Paul speaks to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. I went to our pastor, Bruce Barra. Again, a lot of the younger ones would not know him. But I had to do a youth sermon. I think I was in the 9th grade, maybe 10th. And I just want, you know, no clue how to do a sermon. And he turned me to the book of Paul and quoted this scripture. Spoke of my grandmother. He knew her well, distant kin. And ever since then, when I hear it, I think of her. the faith that she had and the faith that she passed on to her mother, and because of that, the faith that I had. So what Mr. Bear was showing to me, and I can think of that with Ms. Grubbs and the many children and the grandchildren, and you know, I'm sure all of them are not in church like she would love for them to be, but I know that many of them are, and that she's touched them with her faith and the faith that she passed on to her children. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. I'm reminded of that faith because I see it in you, and I know that for you it's third generation. Mother, Dad, the greatest single thing that can be said about you is to leave this legacy as a compliment to your life, that others can look at your children and know that they were brought up in a Christian home, to know that they received teaching that was so needed at that age, that they could grow knowing Christ and, you know, have a firm foundation and build their life upon Him. Now, just because you bring them to church and live that life in front of them is no guarantee that they're going to jump right in, going to church, and bringing up their children in church. But we have hope in the scripture that says, when you know, train up your child, and when they're old, they'll turn back to it. When they're grown, they'll turn back to it. It's still a prayer for one of ours. And you know, I know many that the mother did everything she could, the father did everything she could, and now they're wondering, where did I go wrong? Just pray hard that God will remind them of those teachings that they were taught, those Sunday school lessons they heard, those examples that they saw, that God will water those seeds and nourish those seeds that have just been lying dormant in their lives, and that they can truly see the need of Jesus Christ. And then in Joshua 24:15, we've heard this many times. I want us to think about it. Maybe where does it come in at Mother's Day? But I think we'll see. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the ones they served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell. You need to make a decision, the Bible is going to tell us, in the land that you dwell in. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I invite, encourage, beg every family here to think about this scripture. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it's those false gods, and boy, we have plenty of them today. You know, we don't have little idols that we go in and bow down to. We don't have little places set aside in our home for false gods. But so many today are worshiping false gods, worshiping material things, worshiping status, worshiping, you know, pleasure and leisure. And we could just name so many things that we allow to come before God in our lives. And I think God would say to us today, choose this day whom you will serve. Is it the gods of the people around you? Is it the gods of your friends that you've allowed to influence you and pull you down instead of you pulling them up? You know, that's an amazing thing. That's where the devil gets his strength. We think, oh, I can do this or I can do that. But we end up allowing those people to pull us down when we should be striving hard to pull them up. So this phrase, if serving the Lord seems undesirable, shows a lack of decision, shows standing between two worlds, the world that Satan is offering, the world that so many are involved in, and then over here is the world we know we need to be in, God's world. We're trying, but we're just kind of caught between the two. We're pulled back and forth. We're indecisive. And God says, choose you this day. In the movie, The Legend, The Alamo, 200 and some men against thousands and thousands. They're surrounded. They know their time is limited. They know they can't win. David Crockett draws a line in the sand. Basically saying, fellas, if we fight, we're going to die. But I want to fight for Texas. I want to fight for freedom. I want to fight for the cause we believe in. Says, if you're with me, step across the line. And every one of them stepped across the line. Every one of them died. It's debated. One might have lived. But Davy Crockett was simply saying, decide. Are you going to take the easy way, or are you going to suffer for your state? We need to decide. Are we going to decide to follow the Lord, to be that example to our family that we should be, or are we going to just go on wavering till it's too late? You say, well, my children are gone and grown. I bet you have grandchildren. You have, and not every adult has children. But you know, every one of us has some influence over kids. And as I look around the past few years, I've known it all my life, but past few years have shown me more than ever before the truth of the scripture that the devil prowls around seeing whom he can devour. Weaknesses, he uses those to get in to try to control our lives. Drugs, plied upon our society today, destroying so many lives. You read of so many young people that passed away. Well, what happened? Overdose. The devil's found a place he can get in, and he's working it for all that he's worth. So if you say, well, my children are gone and grown, or I don't have children, I would encourage you to think what you can do. First of all, we all need to pray for parents and kids and young people more than ever before. There's a lot of temptation out there. I sometimes look at what's in front of kids today, and there was plenty when I was young, but sometimes I look, glad I made it out of there before all this came along. We joke about getting old, and there's a lot of disadvantages, but I would hate to be a teenager growing up today. It's a crazy world out there. So we, all of us, need to join together. We talk about prayer circles. We need to keep one going all the time. Maybe we don't have time, but that's when praying without ceasing comes in. That we can lift parents up. That we can lift our kids up. That we can just pray that God will intervene in our culture today. And that we can become a culture, not just a woman, not just a few, but a culture that pleases God. A culture that others can look to and see that godly person in our lives. A culture that is doing everything we can to save the very soul of our children. Save the very soul of our nation in many ways. Because if we keep heading where we are, we can only imagine what it's going to be like. I have an adult grandson and two small. One just turned 7 this week and one younger. They stretched mine out. But I'm thankful for every one of them. But I look at what the adult has gone through already, what he's seen already, and it boggles my mind. I look at what is coming down the road for the younger ones, and it frightens me. We need to just see how urgent it is that we can pray. We have 3 teachers here, more teachers, I'm sure, but 3 that were at Beulahville, worked together for a number of years, and I remember one day I volunteered for an after-school program and did several things with the school, but got cursed out by a young man on campus one day. And I just thought right then, what a different world we live in. What a frightening world we live in. And reminded then how urgent it is that we all try to be that godly person. So, Mom, not throwing this all on you, I'm asking every adult here to think about what we can do to try to help our young people come to know Christ. So great to see so many, most of them in a corner somewhere, but I had my corner when I was coming to church at the back pew, sort of what we do as teenagers. I can still remember those days, but so good to see so many here. Our church has a good number. We visited many churches in the past couple of years with no kids, young or old, no little, no teenagers. And that's scary. We need to join together and pray and ask God just to intervene and make all of us have a desire to be more of that devoted person, more of that person that others can see Christ in all that we do. Our closing hymn this morning is number 3, Happy Our Home When God Is There. 153.
Four fifty-three.
I don't see a number. Okay, I got it. When we see the unhappiness in our world, that song ought to just turn a little light bulb on in our brain. There's a lot of unhappy people. And to me, the answer is simple. They need to know the Lord. They need to see Jesus as their Savior. They need to have that hope of eternal life. And when God is in the home, happiness is going to dwell there. Again, I challenge you to try to be that godly person that others can see Christ in all that you do.
Let's stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of 453, Happy Our Home When God Is There.
I'd like for you to stand with me at the end of the service. Thank you all for being here. As Chris says, it's wonderful to see a lot of folks that I don't get to see sometimes often, and glad to have you here. And if anybody has anything else to add or say, if not, I'll ask, we'll have the benediction.
Mostly thank you this morning for our mothers. Thank you to Christ, they're probably our next greatest blessing that you have given us. Lord, be with us as we go outside these doors and spread that love and bring it back here safely next week.
Amen.